We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That was Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer last week on the Bernstein and Goff show. We'll transition with those guys in an hour. Theo Epstein will join us in a matter of moments right here on the Spiegel and Parkin show. This segment brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Want to win a rockin' trip from Jersey Mike's and Pepsi? Stop in Jersey Mike's today to enter. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
This is a very humbling, cruel game. Even the general manager, Jed Hoyer, right there, as he tries to talk about it, says, I don't know whether the layoff got to him or if he's just developed some bad habits. The words, I don't know, coming in there from the general manager himself as he tries to figure out what the hell's wrong with Kyle Schwarber.
Right, it's been a season-long struggle. We've talked about it many times. We talked about it with Theo a few weeks ago when he was on this show, and we're happy that he's going to join us again here in a minute. And he talked about, you know, there's the three things. There's the physical, there's the mental, and then there's the fundamental, and how the mental was bleeding into the fundamental side with Kyle Schwarber, and it's been a year-long struggle for him. It's been a grind, and ultimately ending in the decision today, obviously not the end of it, but resulting in him being sent down to AAA Iowa. But he's ready to go, and we appreciate it. Cubs president Theo Epstein back on the Spiegel and Parkin show on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline on a big news day for the Cubs. Theo, as always, thank you very much for the time and the generosity with the show. I guess the obvious question with the news that Kyle's going to Iowa is, why now?
We had some meetings with the coaching staff and in the front office. I think it's always been something that we've been open to, just trying to find the right thing for Kyle and for the team. And it was earlier in the year, you know, there were some sort of swing issues and some fundamental work that needed to get done. He was working on it, and I think I said at the time, you know, if it reaches a point where he's not giving himself much of a chance at the plate, the best thing might be to go down. And I think we reached a point recently where, on the mental side, it just had reached a point where it was really tough. As hard as Kyle was working harder than anyone, it had gotten so deep that it was hard for him to take the things he was working on in the cage and take them out into the game with him. And, you know, you reach a point where you're trying to survive. You're just trying to put the ball in play. You're not yourself. You're searching for your identity as a hitter on a nightly basis. And that's just really hard. And it is not atypical at all for players to need to change their environment in order to rediscover who they are. And Kyle, you know, the way this season has evolved, and none of us saw this coming, but, you know, when you look at him these days, he looks more like slugger than hitter. I think that's what, you know, our fans who watch him on a nightly basis would say. And Kyle's a hitter first. You know, if you go back and look, he had over 600 plate appearances in the minor leagues. He's a career 333 hitter in the minor leagues. This is not just some all or nothing slugger. He's a hitter first who has power. And I think, you know, obviously a lot of things have happened this year, but it's gotten away from them, and now it's sort of just a power game. And we have zero doubt that he's going to go down. This will be good for him, and he'll rediscover who he is. From a fundamental standpoint, he'll lock in his swing mechanics and his approach, and then mentally this will be great for him just to take a blow, get back to doing the things that made him special, and come back as the hitter that he is, not just as a slugger.
This option, Theo, has obviously been discussed in our little world for, what, 6 weeks, something like that? I remember when you were asked about it a month ago, you it sounded like you had a kind of an openness about it that surprised some of us. Have there been disagreements or any discrepancies in the brain trust as to, like, when this should happen or if Kyle was ready? How long has this been something that has been considered in that way?
No real disagreements, just sort of a mutual desire to monitor the situation and make sure we were talking to the right people and doing the right thing for Kyle. So, you know, a lot of it's important. the work that's going on behind the scenes, and then the ability to take that work into games, and the mindset, the ability to maintain confidence and have something that you're working on that you can hold on to, an approach that that provides some hope. And you don't want a guy to get so buried and so down that he's just purely in survival mode for such a long period of time, or it maybe starts to do more harm than good. And we saw this entire exercise as, through two lenses, what's best for the team and what's best for Kyle. And when we sat down and talked to Kyle after the game last night, I told him, like, this decision is an investment in you. It's not turning our back on you. It's an investment in you because we want you back. We need you back. You're going to be right in the middle of everything good that happens here for a long, long time. You just got to find yourself again and find that hitter. And he's going to. I really like the look in his eye, how determined he is to take a breath, go down, and rediscover himself as a hitter and come back up here and make some people pay for the way the season's gone so far.
Is there a specific way that the league is attacking him that he needs to adjust to and hasn't been able to? You mentioned high fastballs yourself a while back, and we see some of that.
There are a few different ways they're attacking him, but all those ways, all the different areas of the strike zone and the types of pitches that they're throwing are areas that he handled extremely well in 2015. So, they're exploiting him with high fastballs now. He pounded fastballs, including some high fastballs there. He hit the strike slider. He hit changeups. He hit fastballs. He hit sinkers. Obviously, he kills everything down, but he hit high fastballs in 15. The ways they're getting him out now are things that he can handle in the past, and he's a complete enough hitter to handle them and will handle them again. It's more with him and just getting away from his swing and who he is as a hitter, and it happens. It's happened to some of the great players in the game. Mike Trout had to go back to the minor leagues and get locked back in on his fundamentals before coming up and becoming the best player in our game. And we've talked about the Royals and some of the parallels there. Alex Gordon, Mike Moustakas, those guys went down to rediscover themselves and come back up. Chris Davis, Adam Jones, a ton of guys throughout the history of baseball this has happened to. And it can be good for them. Just getting away for a couple of days. We haven't reconnected with Kyle yet today. I'm sure I will, but we encouraged him to take a few days, the weekend, just away from baseball, just to take that deep breath and get away from. He's been so hard on himself because he wants to contribute more, as much as anyone, and he's been working his tail off and beating himself up. So just getting away will be good for him, and then changing your environment is really magical a lot of times. And just getting back to Iowa, rediscovering his swing and gaining some confidence, I think will do him wonders. And that's what this is about, more so than any new attack plan on him, because the things that they're doing to him now are things that he was able to handle in the past and will again in the future.
Theo Epstein joining us on the Spiegel and Parkin Show on The Score. All right, so it sounds like he's obviously not playing for Iowa tonight, and I know you can't see the future, but how long do you expect him to be down there?
Until he's himself again, and I'm not going to put any limits on it one way or the other, but knowing him and how hard he's going to work and how he's going to pour himself into this and how talented he is, I wouldn't expect it to be too long. But I also didn't expect us to be in this position. Neither did Kyle, neither did just about anybody else. So, there are no certainties in this game, but still have full belief in him, and I believe this is going to be good for him, and I believe he's going to be back before too long and helping us win baseball games.
How will you know that he's ready to come back?
It's a good question. I think the answer is not home runs. I think it's more how consistent his approach is, how hitterish he is, his ability to handle different parts of the zone, use the whole field, hit line drives, be a tough out, and to start to resemble the hitter he's been his entire life. And some of the habits that he's gotten into this year, out of the best intentions, some bad habits have creeped in, and the getting around the baseball and pulling the baseball, hitting the ball on the ground, being just getting his pitch, but being just under it, the results of some mechanical things and some bad habits. I think we see those things slip away and see him start hitting the ball to off field and hitting the ball consistently hard and being hitter first instead of slugger. I think that'll be a pretty good indicator for us.
Theo, you've mentioned with us before, and it's been apparent watching him, right, the mental struggle. You mentioned that he was working harder than anybody, and then you also said that you saw the look in his eyes. Can you just, like, tell us about the meeting and how he took the news?
Just like a complete pro, and, given all the relationships involved, I know he believes us when we say that this decision is an investment in him. It's not an abandonment of him in the least, and he wants to be around his teammates and wants to contribute, and it's not easy news for anyone to hear. But, whether he grasps it in real time or soon will or has a hint about it, I think there's going to be some element of relief in just getting away and taking a deep breath and being in an environment where he can work to get back to who he is without, hurting his team in a given at-bat or a given game. And he's helped us win games, too, but I'm sure he feels horrible about the times he hasn't come through. And this will relieve that pressure and allow him to just get back to who he is. So he took it extremely well with a lot of determination and, I think, really good perspective on it.
You mentioned he's a hitter, not a slugger. And there's the irony is that he's put in the leadoff spot because he can be a hitter, and he ends up looking like a slugger. So do you feel like leadoff had any effect on him putting a little pressure on himself? And if so, is it something you want to skip when he comes back?
I don't know. I tend not to think so, but I certainly don't have it all figured out. So it's certainly a possibility. It's something that Joe can experiment with and find the right spot for him. But I tend to think that this is not directly tied to where he was hitting in the order. But I'm not going to sit here and say I have it figured out or anyone else at the Cubs does, because we certainly do not, and you have to be open to all different considerations. But my instinct is not necessarily. I have some other theories on sort of how this evolved, but certainly can't rule anything out.
Boy, come on. I mean, you just teased us with the other theories. We got to chase and ask about a theory or two. No?
No, it just happened. It's baseball. I'm not going to go into sort of, my own observations here, but it happens. It's not unprecedented. It's surprising because of how good he is and the hitter he's been his whole life. We're all shocked that we're at this point, and he is more than anybody, but that doesn't do you any good. It's how you respond to this type of diversity. We talk all the time about, defining baseball character in a lot of ways by how a player responds to adversity. And this is real adversity that he's facing, where, this is a prolonged, deep slump and a period of time where he is not himself fundamentally and mentally. And he needs to respond to it the right way, and I know that he will. And that's what will define him, is how he responds to this. Not he won't be defined by his batting average. He won't be defined by being optioned. He won't be defined by 2.5 months of not being a very good hitter at the big league level. He's going to be defined by how he responds to this, and I think it'll serve him really well in the long term.
You mentioned all the precedents, and there's a ton of great players. I remember being in Boston when Mo Vaughn got sent down, but like, and all the guys you mentioned, but none of those people hit 5 home runs in a postseason or took 6 months off and then came back and had the World Series he had. That I'm sure made this very, very unique and difficult in that way.
Yeah, of course, because he's, we're not wearing rings without him, and he didn't get the opportunity to participate during the regular season last year and still fought so hard to come back and be involved, and to seeing the sacrifices he was willing to make just to be involved and be part of the mix at the major league level makes it feel that much worse when you temporarily take that away from him. But in the end, I look at it as all part of the same equation, right? I mean, the very things that allowed him to bounce back from the injury as quickly as he did and as effectively as he did to get to the position to impact the World Series last year, the same core attributes and qualities that he has that's going to allow him to bounce back from this, I believe, quickly and I know effectively.
Theo Epstein with us on the Spiegel and Parkin Show on The Score. We were talking before you came on about how, you know, you really fell in love with this guy as a player, as a person, his baseball character, and all of that stuff, and the organization has, right? You mean everything from the scouting reports to Babe, Eff, and Ruth, the whole thing. Personally for you, because of how much you think of Kyle, was it a tough decision for you?
No. I mean, it wasn't fun, but, it wasn't complicated. We just looked at it purely through the lens and stayed loyal to the lens of what is the best thing for him and the best thing for the organization. So there was no emotional consideration where, you know, we would have sent him down 3 weeks ago, but we love this guy. We can't do that to him. There was zero of that. It was just monitoring the situation, trying to figure out, it's more art than science, but trying to figure out when it got to a point where going down and working on it down there was better for him than being up here and better for the team. So, it hurts because, you hate to take something away from somebody, but we all felt good after the meeting. I think we felt like with his reaction and that we finally made the move, it was the right thing for him and the right time. I mean, the timing too, small consideration, but we're facing three left-handed pitchers in the next five games, and then we face Scherzer and Strasburg. That's not a great week to battle, to rediscover yourself. You know, if you're maybe sitting against the lefties and then going out there and seeing, upper 90s with devastating breaking stuff, it's, that might not be the best sort of working environment when you're in survival mode and trying to rediscover yourself. So maybe this is the time to get a few days down and away from baseball and then get after it at Iowa.
This team's going to look a lot different for the next week or so. You got Jason Hayward on the DL, Ben Zobrist still on the DL. Here comes Mark Zagunas. This is adversity for the whole bunch, I suppose, right now, but it's also an opportunity for John Jay, Albert Almora. Who's got the opportunity here?
Yeah, everybody. Everyone on the team. I think that's why we never pay any attention to all the talk about, I think, on this show, and definitely I know on others, I've been asked, can you get to a point where you have too many good players, too many guys who need to play? Are you stunting guys' growth? Do you need to clean that up and define who the starter is? And I just never pay any attention to that because baseball takes care of it. There's so much attrition through the course of the season, through injury, performance, the mental side, where you're going to need every single player you have, and there's going to be opportunity for every good player who can remain standing. And that's the point we're at right now. And I think one of the strengths of the organization has been our position player depth up here and in the upper minors, and now it's being tested. And I do see it as a great opportunity. Zagunas has been as hot as any hitter in pro ball over recent days, and someone who's really controls the strike zone and coming into his own and starting to drive the ball and hits the ball to all fields and is really tough at bat. And he's not necessarily fully ready, 100% ready, but to sort of come up here and hit in the middle of a lineup and lead a team and take over a team, that's not what we're asking them to do. But I think he is definitely ready to come up here and have grinding quality at-bats and help be part of the solution. So we're excited to reward him for what he's done and see what he can do up here in his first look.
Theo, I'm wondering if you can relate to this at all. As a Cubs fan, I almost feel like I'm pressing as a fan. Like every time the other team has a duck snort that gets through, I'm like, of course, that's a microcosm for this Cubs season. Like I feel like so much has happened. It's almost like it feels like it's September 22nd instead of June 22nd. Can you relate to that in terms of how this season has gone so far?
Yeah. Well, I think baseball is designed that way, right? When things are going well, you don't recognize the breaks that you get. You don't quite see the arbitrary nature of a batted ball in play, whether it's a hitter and out or an umpire call here and there, or timing and sequencing and the way your offensive output comes together to score, six runs if it's bunched up into a couple big innings, or, the same amount of total bases over the course of a game might lead to one run and you lose a game 3-1. You don't necessarily recognize those things when you're going well, when you're the beneficiary, but when when they're going against you and your team is struggling, you kind of show up on a daily basis. And you combine that with the fact that we're just not playing well. You know, I mean, for whatever reason, most of our players haven't hit their stride yet this season or underperforming to a certain extent. And that's something that everyone's racking their brain over. You know, to what extent is it sort of coincidental? To what extent is it environmental? And there's something that we can do differently to put these guys in a position to succeed. But certainly when you're in that grinding phase where you're just doing everything you can to eke out a hit, or a run, or a victory in a Major League Baseball game, there is a heightened level of stress and attention to detail and dependence on breaks that you don't necessarily feel when you're playing well and you have a greater margin for error.
Environmental, that's interesting. Caught the ear there. Is there anything more that a manager can do? Is there anything more that a coaching staff can do to try and help the environment when a team is having a little bit of a bit of malaise that's lasting?
I mean, they work on that every day. You know, every day, Joe and the coaches wake up and try to figure out how they can impact the environment to put individuals in a position to succeed and the team in a position to feel good about itself and get the most out of itself and go out and win a game. So, environmental, that's just a broad term. But what I meant by that is everything from a given individual and how he's feeling about himself when he shows up to the ballpark and how he interacts with the support staff and his teammates at the ballpark and what the mood is, and are we doing everything we can for him to put him in a position to succeed and build confidence too? You know, on a team-wide basis, obviously there's a different dynamic with the team this year, coming off winning the World Series, than there was the year before. That's just human nature, and rather than sort of ignoring it or using it as a crutch, I think it's important to talk about it and figure out how to conquer it, right? How to shift that environment so it allows us to play at our best and get really hot and have a great second half of the season. So those are things that everyone associated with the Cubs is aware of and processing and working on a daily basis, of course.
Hey, Theo, obviously the Schwarber news was big, so there were other things I wanted to get to. Just real quick before we let you go, Chris Bosio hinted on the morning show that a timeline has been established for Kyle Hendricks. It's concerned me that there hasn't been a before the break, after the break, like really any sort of timeline. Can you give us anything in terms of how long we can expect here?
No, I'm not going to give you a timeline other than to say there's been a lot of progress made and that we're being a little bit stubborn on this one.
Okay.
Not letting him throw until he's 100% symptom-free. And I would say that he is very, very close to getting there, and that if we weren't quite as stubborn, he would have been throwing as soon as yesterday. But that we really want to make sure, you know, you get 100% symptom-free, then maybe then give it two more days and then go, because it's a long season and a long career, and we want to handle this the right way. But it hasn't been radio silence due to any lack of progress. There has been progress. He's getting really close. We just don't want to set some sort of timetable that he then can't live up to.
All right, that makes sense. Thank you. Theo Epstein, president of the Cubs. We appreciate your time, as always, on the show. Thank you, Theo.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
Appreciate it. That's Theo Epstein on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Says he needs to get back to being more of a hitter, not just a slugger.
That was some key stuff in there. Let's react to it, and we have a lot of texters reacting to it as well.
And open phones now, 312-644-6767. That was Theo Epstein on the Spiegel and Parkin Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Interesting to hear the breakdown and the parsing of the individual struggles. And when I said, so it sounded like with your evaluation there of Schwarber that it was more in the mental side of it, he was like, but also the fundamental, and they bleed into one another. And so we have the three breakdowns and then there's the subsets within them, and we figure out for each guy what the problems are. And if they can work through them on the major league level, it's more rewarding. But for some of them, we have to open up the possibility that they go down to the minor league level. And he mentioned the Royals, and I'll just tell you from experience there, not that you don't know as a national baseball guy, Alex Gordon went down to the minors.
Switched positions
from third base to left field, became the best defensive left fielder for a 3-year stretch.
Hosmer go down?
Moustakas.
Moustakas did.
Moustakas went down. Hosmer bad and struggles, but never got demoted after he got promoted. But Moustakas had a demotion when he was hitting less than 200 for a stretch of time, like Kyle Schwarber is.
This was the pile of position players, studs, that were coming up at around the same time and why the Royals kept getting picked to win a division before they eventually did.
Yeah, so a couple of their guys absolutely got demoted and then came back up. The difference was that Gordon was a meddling player at third base and then changed position and became great defensively. Moustakas did not have huge success. He had a little bit of power success, but he did not have overarching success like Addison Russell or Kyle Schwarber or some of the guys that you might be talking
about.
Well,
they won the World Series,
right,
and had high-profile postseason success moments. Addison Russell's home run against the Dodgers in that series, it flipped the entire NLCS around.
Right.
Schwarber obviously doing what he did, but that doesn't, as he said there, doesn't change the fact that they're young and they haven't had that much playing time. And there's some struggles that are still there. You know, knowing the way they feel about Schwarber, that's what I wanted to try and find out, whether it would even be a consideration to send him down.
He said yes.
Said yes, that you don't worry about feelings. You don't worry about disappointment. If it's the right thing to do to give somebody a mental break. And I think they're a hell of a lot closer to needing that for Schwarber than I ever would have imagined. And I think they believe that too.
What was interesting to me was the reaction from you guys in the room of defensiveness from Theo.
Mm.
Because I look at him as, I mean, it was certainly very professional, and he's always that, and he's a good communicator of his thoughts. But he didn't strike me as overly defensive. He struck me as a guy who acknowledges the validity of the question. We've been bad.
Mm-hmm.
We've struggled. I've got to sit here and answer the questions that you guys have to ask. Maybe that's more defensive than he normally comes across, because normally there aren't a lot of things to question them about baseball.
Well, that's the thing. Campy, what'd you say? It can't be the way you described it. It was the first tough stretch, really.
Yeah, first time I can remember him being on with really any sort of negative connotation about the team coming into the appearance.
Well, let's think about it. Because during the five-year arc to get to and eventually win the World Series, there was not a whole lot of points where you're like, all right, what the hell are they doing? Not a whole lot, because all sorts of slack was being cut, and they were ramping forward and doing, I mean, there was a few things, but overall, the way this team is playing right now is blech, and he knows it. He watches it. When they got swept out by the Mets, there was a lot of there was some tough stuff, because, like, all right, they can't hit fastballs. Too many.
Right,
damn,
do they strike out too much?
Do they strike out too much? They can't hit fastballs. Too many home run hitters. I don't know about the makeup of this team, but they had just made the damn NLCS.
Had won 97 games and were so damn young.
In a theoretical bonus year. So, but what Campy's saying, I think is probably true.
Well,
that in terms of an appearance, it's like, all right, you guys are struggling. What the hell's going on here? These are not, you know, there's a problem that the whole team is playing poorly as an entirety, and he knows it.
The first thing I thought of was Chapman, because there was some defensiveness around that and some awkwardness into how that was handled.
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't as much baseball-wise. It was part baseball. Like, are you sacrificing?
It was PR.
But it was PR, and it was like social consciousness. Like, you've done right. So much about character, and then you're willing to sell the soul to get the missing piece to get the World Series. And so it was, you know, the hypocritical talk, not as much as, like, everyone understood, right? Like, from a baseball standpoint, if you could add one of the best closers in baseball to a team that didn't have a bona fide closer, understood the baseball side of it.
No, but, like, this moment of a lot of people saying, all right, what's wrong with your team? And is this team fundamentally built wrong?
Right.
Right? Like, question, which is crazy to be doing.
I don't think that.
51, some people are saying that.
And that
part is crazy. Like, it's crazy to be thinking that. But he had to legitimately answer the other day, which we didn't, you know, like, will you go out and trade for a bat? And who would have ever thought you'd be in that kind of conversation?
Yeah, and
crazy.
We could talk to Theo for 4 hours every day and learn stuff, obviously, but, like, I'm not going to ask that question. That question is absurd on its face. It is, we're 8 weeks away from the trade deadline. Trades don't happen yet. 6 weeks away from when they actually can start really happening. Like, he's been asked that question every time that he meets with the media for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he keeps saying, well, I don't know. I mean, no one's talking about it yet. Like, we'll see. They've got a lot of – you heard him. They are evaluating their own team.
Yeah, self-assessment.
That is where they are right now. And the self-assessment is not coming back very pretty. Mm-hmm. Like he said he's on the plane yesterday flying home from the West Coast watching video of Kyle Schwarber in 2015. Like that's a place, not a place of doubt, but that's a place of like searching for answers.
Everybody's working on stuff
that he doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's an admission from him that yes, we do not have all of the answers to these questions. We believe that it is going to work out, but we right now do not have the answers to the questions that you have absolutely the right to ask.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff, to figure out. I love that he said that him falling off the amp is a metaphor for the season. I thought that was hilarious. And you know what? That night was still a success. So I guess if we're going to carry that metaphor through, then the season could still be a success.
This segment brought to you by Lowe's. Stop by Lowe's for great deals like Miracle-Gro Garden Soil. Now 2 for $12. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid 5/31 to June 5th while supplies last. U.S. only, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
I love that. You know, when we were saying during the break, or Rick was saying, yeah, it was a little defensive. And you're like, no, you want to hear defensive.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to me with some of the Royals guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That was cake. That was easy. I thought he was going to invite me to the after party.
No, what's the what happened with you and the Royals? Do I need to go back and listen to some of that stuff?
Do you know the story of me and David Glass, the owner of the team?
I know that you got your credential taken away at one point. And if I'm not supposed to say that on the air, I apologize.
No, you're...
It's a little late.
You're fine. No, you could say, yeah, the credential was taken away for a while. The All-Star game was in Kansas City in 2012. I had a press pass for it, but then I didn't.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I advocated people holding up signs for the Danny Parkins show in the fountains during the home run derby.
Oh, boy.
They thought that was
crass.
Maybe something that I shouldn't have done.
I thought maybe – so it was the All-Star game. I thought maybe you brought your girlfriend and she left your sweater there in the seat of somebody else who was supposed to be there.
Nothing that trivial, my friend.
Nothing like that.
No, but yeah, the owner and I had a problem, but it was before they got good, and then that permeated the entire organization, and they held a grudge for a long, long time. We'll tell the story if you want, and we got a cool prize to give away in our last segment before transition on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, do you want to listen to your favorite radio play-by-play announcers while watching the game on TV?
Yeah.
Be the sixth caller or the seventh caller to the Scores contest line at 312-591-6700, and you win a SportsSync delay radio that exactly matches your radio audio to your television broadcast. This is a sports fan's dream. For more information, visit SportsSyncRadio.com.
Dude.
That's 312-591-6700.
Dude.
It's a good price.
I didn't know this product existed. Do you know how many times I have fielded questions from people saying, how can I link up Tom Thayer and Jeff Joniak to my Bears broadcast so I don't have to listen to the F team or the G team featuring David Deal doing doing the Bears?
A little sick of Spiro Ditas always getting the Bears game.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Why do I want to hear Brady Quinn and the ghost of Dick Stockton do a game when I can listen to my guys? Now you can go to SportsSyncRadio.com.
SportsSyncRadio.com. That's right. We'll transition with Bernstein and Goff in about 10 minutes. Asked and answered. You wanted the story of why it got so bad with me and the Royals for a time being. It ended up being fine, and you know, things were smoothed over. I mean, it was never their favorite. But someone found an old blog post and sent it to you.
Yeah, thank you to Joel Fry, who tweeted at me, and he tweeted it at Danny Perkins 94.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
That's okay. Yeah.
Not you.
Not me. At Danny Perkins on Twitter, if you want to follow me.
A blog post from July of 2012, and the headline, have you seen this, guys? The headline, Royals owner David Glass cuts off All-Star Fan Fest interview. This is our boy,
man,
Mr. Parkins.
There's so much context that this blog post out, shockingly.
Leave it out. I don't care.
Yeah.
Here's part of the transcript of you at 25 years old talking to Royals owner David Glass. You would never consider selling the team? No. What do you say to fans who would like you to sell the team? Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you know where that comes from? I don't have a clue. I have no idea. And then later on, here's apparently how the interview ended. Would you be willing to operate a season at a loss in order to sign a big time? We've done that before, and I suppose we'd do it again. We're talking with Royals owner David Glass here on the Danny Parkins Show. Oh, oh, All right. Thank you, sir, for coming on the show. He just put the microphone down and walked away.
Yeah. 2.5 minutes into the interview, on a stage at FanFest to kick off the All-Star festivities in Kansas City on the home of the Royals.
What do you say to fans who would like you to sell the team?
Yeah,
screw you. This is my FanFest. I own the team. We're having a festival here. Everybody's happy. What the hell's wrong with you, kid?
Nothing is wrong with me. Those were fair questions.
How old are you, Mr. Radio Man? 11? Are you 11 years old?
A lot of the context would make you understand why those questions were so valid.
God.
But yeah, that's great.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Dear asshat.
That was pretty much how it went. And then he just walked off in front of everybody. And I had a text from my boss that said, don't reference that just happened. Come back to the studio immediately after the show and see me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Don't reference that just happened.
We just had to come back from break and be like, so how great is FanFest?
Hey, FanFest is awesome. Pay no attention to the disappearing owner behind the curtain.
Yeah. It was awkward, man. That was a tough time.
Wow.
So I attended the Futures game, but not the Home Run Derby or the All-Star game. When it was in Kansas City.
And that was that. Well,
and then
you know,
the entire 2013 season.
Whatever happened to David Glass? Anyway, whatever happened to that guy?
He's just a billionaire with some Walmart money and the world championship.
Oh, so
and
he's,
two pennants.
Oh, so he's doing okay.
He's fine.
All right.
He's fine.
Okay.
But look at me. But look at me.
That's right.
I'm sitting here with you, the glue that holds it all together for Theo's charity.
Apparently so.
How about that?
That was, yeah.
Did you see him blush, by the way? Did you guys see Jay, Rick? Did you guys see him blush with Theo? He was like, oh, don't, look at you. Don't do that. And then he like listened.
You act like we don't see that every Wednesday at 11:40.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
That's true.
And Theo gave us one of those, by the way.
Theo gave us a can't do it. We'll work it in for next week. It was beautiful.
All right, good.
I find myself noticing when people say, I think Hawk this morning said can't do
it.
He
didn't quite finish it. Can't do it. He didn't quite finish the phrase.
Right. It was unfortunate. But we'll have a Theo can't do it for next week. And if you ever hear a can't do it in any sort of context with any sort of dignitary, please at Rick Camp with those on Twitter.
A dignitary. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want any peasants can't do
it.
I
heard Angela Merkel deliver a can't do it.
That would be lovely.
That the kind of dignitary you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
All right, good. Well, let's get her on the show. Jay, could you book Angela Merkel and also David Glass? Please book David Glass in person next time the Royals are in town.
Done.
All right,
yeah,
good.
That won't be a problem. Just tell them who it's for. They'll get right on that
for
request.
For Penny Darkins.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Thanks for taking that trip down memory lane with me.
Oh, yeah, happy to do so.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable time in my life. Thought I had gotten fired from my amazing $32,000 a year job like 6 months after I got it. It was going to be a big come up for me.
Do not tell anybody that happened. Do not reference it. Come immediately back to the station and talk to me.
I was like, I think I have some autonomy. I got to ask the questions the fans want. They're like, no, you don't. We're the flagship of the Royals, and you're some little peon that nobody knows anything about.
So now that's an example of something we've been accused of for a long time that has never been true,
right?
That you actually were guilty of.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't guilty
of it. No, but your station was guilty of it.
Oh, yeah.
We, as the flagship for the White Sox for years and now the Cubs, we have never been told of a single thing to not ask, not say, or be careful. Nothing like that. And people always assume that that is the case.
Yeah.
But you, in a town like Kansas City, were told, kiss the ring of the mighty Royals.
And with a team like the Royals. It's a town like Kansas City that is a very beloved. We can talk about this for a greater length in the future if you want. But it was also the franchise. It's a franchise's decision to not boss around their media entities in some way. But understand that it's big market radio, big market media here, and they don't.
Right.
And the major league organization in a smaller market tries to play the bully. We'll transition with Bernstein and Goff next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.